This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Duke graduate music student Alex Koch spent a lot of time in school working on classical composition. But he has another love, too, the techno beats of dance clubs. So for his dissertation at Duke, he wanted to blend his passion for electronica with his education in classical. The result was a fusion dance party at Duke Coffee House last month. Alex Koch joins us now in the studio to talk more about his techno-classical creations. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And we're talking now about not just adding beats to Mozart, but in fact your original classical style compositions blended with techno, right?
Right, yeah. And I think the electronica medium sort of lent itself towards some of my earlier instrumental music because of some of the repetitious qualities of both of them. So
if I say classical style, I mean, what am I saying? Do I mean you're imitating Mozart, or what is it about that that distinguishes it from those other
things? Yeah, that classical is a really tough term. I mean, I don't think it's really descriptive of what's going on today in instrumental composition, but a lot of people just feel that there isn't a better term, really. It is perhaps the continuation of a style that comes from long before actually the classical era, you know, Baroque and before that, up till now. But I guess when people say classical now, in terms of people like me who are on the younger side and writing instrumental original music, I guess it just refers to that process of composing for a wide range of instruments.
And without at the risk of being reductive, I mean, one of the things you can say about that big giant form that goes all the way back to the Baroque and before is that at some point people thought, gee, could we make a track of music hold up by itself? It's so interesting as music, it doesn't need words to hold my interest. And how would we do that? I mean, is that a rough approximation of sort of what's going on and how you distinguish it from earlier forms?
Well, I mean, I do think that, yeah, the tradition of instrumental music did kind of go away from some vocal, you know, performance. But, you know, for me, I think it's a matter of bringing it back to the audience. And I think that there's a whole, you know, large interest in the world for instrumental music and for music that stands by itself. But I think that, you know, for me, it was important to bring it back to the physicality of music, the pulse of music, and to treat it as something that has a social function and not just something that exists on its own.
Yeah, now I know that's a very important part because, again, one of the breaks in classical, if you look at the timeline, it was dance music for some very formal kinds of dances in the court. And then at some point, we weren't dancing anymore. Everybody was just sitting in the audience and on their hands and listening to this sort of thing. And that's an important part for you. You just said it, the social function, getting people in a room to move and not just sit and listen.
Right. You know, I think they both have their benefits. But for me, in the recital hall over the years, I mean, I came to feel like I wanted something different out of that experience as someone who was writing the music. I mean, I wanted to connect with people in a sort of more obvious way. And I wanted it to be, you know, sort of something, to me, you know, sort of a positive social experience.
Let's get a sample of one of your compositions right now that you played at the dissertation. Let's listen. That's Alex Koch doing a musical dissertation for the Duke Coffee House. This is the electronica portion of the composition, right?
Right. So I treated my dissertation kind of as a whole set and not as a single piece. The actual dissertation work that I'll be defending probably next year sometime is a single piece. It's maybe 26, 27 minutes. But I sort of blended it in with a couple other tracks I'd previously written and treated it as a maybe 50, 55-minute DJ set, sort of in the medium of club music. So that was the sort of towards the end of a piece I'd written earlier for bassoon and electronics, which originally was a concert piece written for Rachel Elliott, who's a local fantastic bassoon player. And then I sort of did a remixed version for the club, which didn't take a whole lot of tinkering because I wrote it as kind of a hybrid work initially. And then that was towards the end there. You can actually hear some of her vocal samples there in with the mix, which always kind of makes her smile.
Well, if we can hear another clip also from the dissertation, we'll hear In this clip, I think, when you incorporate performers along with the electronica, let's listen. So there's another clip of Alex Koch doing his musical dissertation. That was April 6th at the Duke Coffee House, a combination of electronic music and classical composition. When we talk about electronic, are we simply talking about the arrangement, the instruments, the way the sounds are created, or the aesthetic of electronic as dance music?
Yeah, I mean, I think electronica even covers more than just dance music. It can cover all kinds of electronic music. But for me, I mean, I use the term electronica instead of electronics, because I think electronica does sort of intimate in more of a dance feel, especially in the way we use the term now. Composer Mason Bates, he's based in San Francisco, he kind of started using that term with his orchestral music, which blends beats and the orchestra. So I wanted to use that as well.
And is it just here's how uneducated I am. When we think again of electronica, the aesthetic, the dance music, it's a beat. So can we just compose the piece, find the rhythm, and superimpose the electronica, or do you have to compose with both in mind from the start?
Well, that's the real challenge. I mean, I think a lot of people who are remixing classical, which does happen, often do kind of take that approach. Well, we have something already, and you know, let's throw a beat on there and see if it works. And it does work sometimes. But for me, I mean, I've been at Duke for 5 years, and I've been experimenting with stuff for longer than that. And it does take some time to figure out how I'm going to do this process. And I think now I do try to do the instrumental elements and the electronica elements simultaneously as much as I can, so one doesn't sort of take precedent over the other.
What about the aesthetic, the textural elements, the mixing a bassoon with maybe a synth sound? You pay attention to what instruments and the kind of timbre I'm going to get when I blend these two.
Yeah, when I'm at my best, I definitely do. Yeah. And a bassoon's a good example, actually, of an instrument that blends great with a lot of synthetic sounds, because when I was recording Rachel to make that earlier piece, I found that a lot of those samples I was taking almost sounded electronic in themselves. And I was able to sort of put some subtle effects on them and sort of, I think, you know, blur the boundary between electronic and acoustic.
Are there instruments that don't blend well?
Yeah, I think some, you know, more than others. You know, what I chose for my piece was to have all wind instruments in voice. And I think that, you know, the brass may not blend terribly well with some of the synthetic sounds that I was using, although they could blend well with other synthetic sounds that I haven't, you know, created yet. But I think that they blend really well together. I had three brass instruments that could sort of often come together and form a sort of giant bass line of sorts.
When you compose the music, do you imagine the orchestra live and this music being mixed live, or is one of them pre-recorded?
I mean, it depends. Yeah. Some of the, you know, the synthetic stuff is sample based or, synthetic, you know, wave sounds that I do, but when I'm composing, I do envision the live performance, and that's very important. And I mean, I compose in a loop based software, so I'm actually thinking about performing it as I'm composing it.
And you imagine then a live orchestra,
yes.
And then over and against this recorded music coming off your laptop, maybe.
Right. Yeah. It does involve a bit of sort of extrapolation. Sometimes I'll have to orchestrate from my electronics into sort of, yeah, an acoustic form, much like someone who's writing a piece for orchestra might have to go from a piano score, you know, a two- or a four-hand piano score into a whole 100-piece orchestra.
Is there much room for improvisation, either for the players or for the DJ in this case?
Absolutely. There's a good bit of both. Some of my transitions between that bassoon piece and the dissertation, between movements of my dissertation, and actually even within some of the movements, I did incorporate some improv, and I tell them a chord to play on, or I give them a rhythmic figure to sort of use as a base for what they were doing. And then for me, I mean, I'm doing a lot of effects on all the sounds coming from my laptop, especially the percussion sounds. So a lot of filtering, delay, things like that, and external samples, kind of rising and falling samples that are good for transitional spots.
Would that kind of improvisation be difficult for classically trained musicians who may not be as familiar with techno or...
I don't think the improv is as hard as sort of the rhythmic precision that techno and really just like pulse-based electronica really requires. So that's more what I encounter is you know, this real need for exact metronomic kind of robotic time. I found that, you know, having players, especially if you give them a chord or a set of pitches to work with, most classical players, while they may not do it every day, they can definitely hang with it.
So in terms of the difference between the two kinds of music, well, actually, before I get to that, I want to ask you about the people who influenced you in music.
Right. I mean, there's so many. I would say that from the classical end of things, I think I really found a lot of inspiration, and I still do, from some of the work of Steve Reich and some of the other American minimalist composers. Terry Riley and Philip Glass or a couple others. And then as the post-minimalist sort of phase went underway, I've really enjoyed John Adams, and Michael Torkey is a really big influence on me. Then, you know, lately, I mean, I've been listening to more electronica and jazz as well. I mean, I started playing jazz in high school a little bit after I picked up the clarinet in the classical world. So, I mean, Michael Brecker and John Coltrane, great sax players who influenced me. And I would say electronica-wise, you know, Fortet is probably my favorite producer.
It seems to me that this has an even greater affinity with jazz in your form than either of the other two, in a sense, because of the way it does play with time. There's an implicit play against time, as you say, the robotic need to be metronomically perfect in techno, and the desire, the pressing against a desire to sort of take it easy and allow for a grace note here and there.
Right. Yeah, there is. Yeah. I mean, that's another challenge of fusing the two, is just to try to build in a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of rubato here and there, and improvisational elements.
So what kind of reaction did you get for the dissert? Did you pass?
Well, you know, the defense is until we'll see. Defense is until next year, because I have to write a thesis as well. So I'll be doing that in Germany next year. But as far as I can tell, I've gotten lots and lots of positive feedback from the audience, from my professors, from the department. So, I mean, I couldn't be happier with the way it turned out. So.
What is the thesis? Does it center on the social quality of this, or is it?
Yeah, some of it. I mean, it's what I'm doing is exploring composer DJs, mainly Ari Benjamin Myers, who's based in Berlin, which is why I'm going over there, who are doing similar things to what I'm doing and have been doing them longer and, you know, probably more successfully. So I'm looking into that. I'm looking into the musical similarities between what they're doing and between post-minimalist music in general. And then I am going to be exploring some of the social aspects of the different genres that come into play.
And why Germany? Is that a particularly good place to be doing this?
Well, Berlin, is certainly one of the world centers for electronic dance music, and has been for a couple decades now. But Ari Benjamin Myers, he's actually American, but he went over there on a Fulbright in 95 and never left. And he works with a lot of DJs and orchestrates and writes his own music for dance clubs and for concert halls. So. He's a great research subject.
Do you imagine this stuff as popular music, as concert music, as club music? How do you see it?
I certainly see it as both club and popular. I think that audiences take really well to live instruments. And I've definitely found in a place like Durham, which doesn't have a huge electronic scene, if you throw a few instruments in there, it gives people something to look at, to see people breathing and playing and sweating. And that's, what I've been doing for a long time. And I also have this love of electronics. So, I mean, it's a perfect pairing for me to join those two and to maybe bring people into electronic music who aren't necessarily inclined to sort of seek it out by itself.
So you're going to be working on this thesis, going to Germany, in terms of which means you're sort of trapped. You're going to be writing about this. How about your imagination? Are you moving on to other areas now in your own thoughts?
In terms of music,
yeah.
I would say this was kind of the beginning of hopefully the next stage of my musical life. So I'd like to keep working in this little subgenre here of what I'm calling instrumental electronic dance music. And I think as I research that phenomenon, I'm going to get a lot more ideas. And I hope to perform this kind of thing in Europe when I'm there.
Is there much of a scene in Europe with this kind of music, do you think?
I mean, I think it's small and it's in little pockets, but certainly there's some stuff going on in Berlin. There's some stuff going on in London. It's logistically pretty complicated when you have a chamber orchestra and electronics and a million microphones and a lot of players with different schedules. But I think there are things holding it back, but I'm trying to find out, you know, what can be done to actually move this forward a little bit.
Alex, so great to talk with you. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks so much.
Alex Koch is a graduate student in composition at Duke. For more information, you can go to alexkoch.com. Koch is K-O-T-C-H. That's the State of Things for today. Thanks for listening. If you have a comment about the show, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things is going to be in Greensboro next Friday, a live broadcast from Triad Stage. Going to be an update on the latest news from the Triad. We'll have some live music, and you are welcome to be part of our audience. Send an email to rsvp@wunc.org. Let our staff know you want to join me in Greensboro Friday, May 18th at noon, live from Triad Stage. State of Things produced by Alex Granados with Sean Wen. Dixon Cruz is our intern. Robin Copley, the technical director. Managing editor Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.